We're going to be looking at a subject this morning. What is your excuse? And I want us to use our imagination a little bit this morning. I want us to believe that we have all received a special invitation from King Charles. All expense paid trip to London to be involved in his coronation. So we're all excited about it, except a few people. There's a couple that decided that they bought a house, and they needed to stay here and make sure that that house was what they needed. So they decided not to go. And then there was another couple that just bought a new car, and they decided an electric car. And they decided to see how far this electric car would go. And so they were just taking that time to drive their electric car. And then there was another couple that just got married. And they decided that they would rather go to Qualicum for a honeymoon than go to London. And so if we had that happen and these people were making that excuse, I think we'd all be quite surprised about the whole thing. Jesus has been invited to the home of a Pharisee on the Sabbath, which was Saturday. You understand that the Sabbath in the Old Testament is Saturday. In fact, is it still Saturday today, meaning seventh. And while he was there, there was a crippled man with a disease of dropsy. This is a disease of the body, which the body retains excess water and fluid and causes great anguish and pain. Jesus asked the Pharisees at this dinner if it was lawful for him to heal this man. Jesus says, "Which of you shall have a son or an ox fall into a well will not immediately pull it out on the Sabbath day?" It reminds me of Dr. Joe Aldrich, who is the dean of Portland Bible College now. And at the time I knew him, he was pastoring in a church. And one Sunday after church, he had gone home, and he noticed that his neighbor was out digging the yard. In the yard, there was a big long trench, and he was digging. And Pastor Aldrich went over and said, "You know, what's happening?" And the guy says, "Well, I'm having some water problems, and I'm trying to find the water line." And Pastor Aldrich said, "Well, I'll change my clothes and come and help." So he went in, changed his clothes, came out with a shovel, and started to help. Well, one of the non-church neighbors came over and says, "Hey, Aldrich, I thought you weren't allowed to work on the Sabbath." And Pastor Aldrich at that time says, "Well," he said, "the Bible says that if our ox falls in a ditch, we can take him out on the Sabbath. We haven't found him yet. We're still looking." Which I thought was an excellent answer to that situation. What Jesus is doing here is he's testing the compassion and love that these men who were supposed to have their legality of the law in their lives. And what he was teaching was that they had an attitude problem. And unfortunately, as we study the scripture, we see that the Pharisees did have an attitude problem in regards to life. Now, in the first couple of verses of chapter 14 of Luke, we're going to be looking at Luke chapter 14. The first part of it says, because the Pharisees always sought the preeminent place, he uses the parable of being invited to a wedding feast. Pharisees were great in getting to a whatever meeting it was, or a party, or a banquet, and they always sought the most prestigious position to sit. And Jesus says, "Now you need to learn not to do that, because supposing you're invited to a banquet or to a supper, and you're sitting in the most prestigious place, but somebody comes along and is more important, then they're going to ask you to leave and you're going to be embarrassed." So he said, don't seek that. What he was looking at for was humility. And secondly, because the Pharisees only invited their own kind to dinner, Jesus tells them that that's nothing great. Everybody invites their own kind of dinner. What he was saying is you need to invite those who are lesser than you to come and participate in the dinner. And then as he continues on teaching, he looks at these wrong attitudes. And he says, now, there's a parable I want to tell you. This is the parable of the Great Supper. So let's read this, if you have your phone. It's interesting that there aren't many people carry Bibles anymore. Have you ever noticed that? But you say, well, there's one. There's one in our congregation. Another one here. We do have Bibles in our phones, and I understand that. Okay, we're looking at chapter 14 of Luke. And we're starting at verse 15. When one of those at the table with him heard this, he said to Jesus, "Blessed is the man who will eat at the feast of the kingdom of God." Jesus replied, "A certain man was preparing a great banquet and invited many guests. At the time of the banquet, he sent out his servants to tell those who had been invited, 'Come, for everything is now ready.' But they all alike began to make excuses. The first said, 'I have just bought a field, and I must go and see it. Please excuse me.' Another said, 'I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me.' Still another said, 'I just got married, so I can't come.' The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry and ordered his servant, 'Go out quickly into the streets and the alleys of the town and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame.' 'Sir,' the servant said, 'what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room.' Then the master told the servant, 'Go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. I tell you, not one of these men who were invited will get a taste of my banquet.'" Now, let's look at this whole situation here. First of all, there's a provision of the supper. And men of Jesus' day, men of rank and affluence, would be sent out two calls. Two calls would go out to these people and say, the first would say, "Now you've been invited to the banquet, and this is the time, and this is the place, and all of this." And then the idea was for the person who received that first call to get ready. And then the second call would be, "Now the banquet is ready, come to it." And so the preparation for accepting the invitation is the second call we have. In this parable, a second call was declined by several with several apologies. Now, the persons invited to the supper, the primary group who were invited to this feast were the Jewish people. The servant who went out with the first call symbolizes those God commissioned to call the Jews to prepare for the coming of the Messiah. In the Old Testament, the prophets of God and also John the Baptist in the New Testament were commissioned to make this initial call to the Jewish people. And so that it was the Jewish people who, in essence, declined this invitation. Then when they declined it, the invitation went out to the Gentiles. Now, Gentiles were any nationality who were not Jewish. There were the Jewish people, the children of Israel, and then any other nationality were considered Gentile. Now, there's a Professor Solomon, and he says this: "The supper is a figure of the rich grace which was to come to men by Christ. The Jews are those whom God designed to be the first participant in this supper, and they received the first call. And then the Jews under the Old Testament. The second call is the token of the realization of that grace of Christ and the actual invitation of the kingdom, which is to the whole world. Now let's look at the pretext given for refusing to attend the supper. And maybe we might see ourselves in this a little bit. All receiving the first invitation to the supper begged to be excused. Some have suggested that the refusal implies a hostility towards the host. But whatever the reason, all three excuses were pretext. Pretext is a falsely stated purpose or reason. With a little forethought, each person could have made arrangements that would have enabled them to go, but the real truth was they didn't want to go. Now, let's look at the excuses here. The first, I have bought a piece of ground and I must go see it. As the man depicted was a Jew, we can hardly conceive of a Jew buying anything before seeing it. Surely he would be the last person to buy a pig in the poke situation. And besides, he was invited to a supper, which was at night, and he couldn't see the land anyways, but he still had this excuse. Probably this man saw the land before he bought it and was more concerned about his investment than he was the invitation to the supper. Now, what is the application to us? He therefore represents those whose possessions necessitate all their attention, robbing them of all spiritual wealth. Now, having possessions is not wrong, but it's the position that we place those possessions in. And so this represents those who have taken their possessions and made them first and foremost in their lives rather than anything spiritual. The second excuse, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen and I go to try them. While the note of necessity is missing from this excuse, its tone is definite and final. He feels his oxen comes first and assures himself that the host inviting him was no claim upon his time. Now, the application to us is this man represents those who are so absorbed in their occupation as to leave no opportunity for concerns of the soul. We can get so caught up in our occupations of life that we forget there's another part of life, which is our spiritual. How tragic it is when affairs of business, employment, or even hobbies leave us no time for God. And then the third excuse, I have married a wife and therefore I cannot come. I wondered if his wife said he couldn't go. The hollowness of this excuse is proved by the fact that this was no stag party that this man was invited to. The host would have known the man's recent marriage and therefore included his wife in the invitation. Had he not been so selfish, husbands, he would have gone to the feast with his wife, giving her a pleasant night out. Little hint there. What's the application? This man stands for those domestic cares and responsibilities controlling so much of our time and thought. Now, we don't want to misunderstand this. There's an order of our lives that needs to come first. God needs to come first. Our families need to come second. And then our occupation or our hobbies or whatever the case might be come third. But on the other hand, there are those who put their families first ahead of God. And even their responsibilities and their hobbies ahead of God. So what this man was demonstrating is that his marriage was more important than going to this banquet, which was a God-called banquet. In each case, there was a secret unwillingness to partake of the feast, for all three expressed the same satisfied immersion in worldly interests. They were more concerned about their own personal interest and lives. Multitudes today are invited to the gospel feast, but respond in the same way to the invitation as those Jesus described almost 2,000 years ago. I got thinking about what are some excuses people make for not going to church, not that church is the banquet, but it would lead to the banquet as we learn and grow in the Lord. First of all, I go to brunch on Sundays. This is an excuse for not going to church. The answer is, here's a list of local restaurants that serve lunch, Sunday brunch at 3 p.m. Church is full of hypocrites. And we always have room for one more. I'm against organized religion. Perfect. We're highly disorganized, too. I don't believe in God. That's okay. God still believes in you. Church people are so judgmental. Trust us, with everything we've done, we really can't be throwing stones. I'm just not being fed. That's okay. We're not here to feed you. We're here to equip you to feed. 10 years ago, someone at some church somewhere was really awful to me. That is really crummy. Give us a chance to make that up to you. I feel like I need to get right with God before I can come to church. Ain't gonna happen, so you might as well come. And churches just want my money. That's number one, by the way, excuse for not going to church. Actually, we just want you to know that all that you have and all that comes comes from God, and encourage you to respond accordingly. What people fail to realize is that the invitation to the great banquet is from the King of Kings to his royal table, and that the rejection of the same constitutes the most aggravated form of disobedience. Now, the outcome of the rejection to the invitation was that the host would no longer invite those who had been initially invited, but rather he would invite others who would be willing to come. One of the things that we need to be aware of is that God never excludes anyone from his banquet table, but we have to have the desire to go. The choice is ours. And what happened here in this parable was that these people made a choice not to go. It wasn't that they couldn't go, they chose not to go. And unfortunately, that's what happens when God gives the invitation and people so readily reject it. Now, let's look at the calls quickly. In the first call, we see him saying, come. Come to the banquet. Come to this supper. Come and participate. The second, and this was rejected, by the way, this call to come. Again, going back to the fact is that the initial call was to the Jewish people. Now, the second call is that there was some assistance needed, and the owner or the king says, bring them in, God, and bring them in. That's a call that we have as a church, is to bring them in. And then finally, compel them to come. God wants people to come to his banquet table. God wants to be his king, their king. The first call represents salvation offered to the Jews and their rejection of it. The second to the poor, maimed, lame, and blind, as to the Gentile sinners, to harlots who warmly welcomed the king's son, who pressed eagerly into his kingdom. The third call was to yet a lower class, tramps and squatters, whose only home was the highway and hedges, streets and alleys and parks, who represent the outlying Gentile world. Just a sideline here, let me encourage you. I don't know if watching the news and watching the street people and the encampments that there are in different cities, and I have to confess that there are times when I watch that and I get frustrated. And yet, on the other hand, God loves those people. God cares about those people. And I know that as a society, we need to be responsible for helping them. But as a church, we need to be responsible for their spirituality in whatever way that, however God leads us in that way. There's always room for the very worst, and none are too bad to sit at the royal table. Praise God for that. That's God's grace. That's God's love. And it comes through Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son. But whether good or bad, the only right of entrance to the feast is the grace of God. Tim, do you want to come forward, please, with your band? The interesting thing is that all of us today have a special invitation to that banquet. All of us today have an opportunity to tell our family, our neighbors, and our enemies about this great banquet. This great banquet that God desires that all would come to it. Unfortunately, there's a lot of choices that people won't. But that shouldn't stop us from going forward for praying for our unsaved people, for talking to them when having an opportunity, and seeking God's way of doing this. I have several neighbors, and I'm not one of these knock on your door, turn or burn type of evangelist, but I believe that my neighbors need Jesus. And I pray constantly that I'd have an opportunity one day to be able to talk to them about him, to be able to lead them to knowing the love of God in such a way. Karen has a female neighbor, and she's had opportunities at times to just be there for her. My neighbor, the other side, he's a single man, has his children, and he's a very friendly man. And I look forward to times when I can share God's love with him. He's very open and about different things, but I'm waiting for God to do that. Now, some of you say, well, you shouldn't be waiting, but I just have a real strong belief that God opens doors when it's time for us to seek being able to share the gospel with them. So the question today is, have you given your life to Christ so that you can attend the banquet feast of the King? Now, I know most everyone here in the church, and I know that you have. But on the other hand, maybe we need to just look at our lives and say, Lord, I really want to be sure that I'm going to the banquet, and I want to bring my friends. And my enemies, by the way. Well, we learned about that. The kids are learning about enemies, to invite our enemies as well. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word that Jesus gave to us. We thank you for this parable, Lord. We see the need to reach out to the highways and the byways, to the alleys and the parks. Lord, we see people out there who so desperately need Jesus. I pray that, first of all, we would search our own hearts and know that we're right and we're accepting that invitation, and then we would share that invitation with those around us. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your desire that no man should perish, but all should come to repentance. So, Lord, we pray for your strength in our lives as we go from this place. Thank you for this time that we've had together, and may your word be everlasting in our hearts and minds. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.